That's the sports director, Joe Tate of Ram Radio. 1960 basketball, the Monmouth Zippers win the sectional tournament.
It's Kelly rebounding in the lane, puts it up, puts it in.
WJRL Radio.
You're in tune with Tate on the Nifty 1150, the time 7-11.
Joe Tate sitting in for Pete Franklin tonight on WERE Sports Line. Let's warm things up with a bit of golf news.
Line drive, center field by Lowenstein. It's a hit. Lee will score. Grohammer stops at second. And the Indians lead 8-1.
Pass out to Bingo. Bingo on the run. The gun. No. Rebound. Clement. Clement got it. Clement got a rebound.
Melo hit a three-pointer on the sideline at the buzzer. Yes, Virginia. There is a Santa Claus, and he comes from Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, looks. Looks, fires to LeBron, three ball in the air. He hit it! He hit it! He hit it! Cavaliers win!
Cavaliers are headed for the NBA Finals for the first time in their history.
It's another episode of Joe Tate's Over the Timeline, brought to you by the Life Care Centers of Elyria, Westlake, and Medina. I'm Bruce Van Dyke. Moderating today with Joe Tate. Good morning, Joe, or good afternoon, or whatever time people tune to listen to our podcast.
I realize that we may be talking to someone in the middle of the night, but that's all right, and it's good to be with you.
And we're glad that you're here to share some of your memories. A lot of this came about because you unearthed boxes of reel-to-reel tapes, right?
Yes, that's right. Things that I had stashed into the basement and basically forgot about, and Tim Alcorn actually found them, and he wanted to see if there was anything listenable on the tapes, and he ended up lugging about three, four boxes of those things out, and I guess they all were in pretty good shape, so that led to this, and here we are.
You get a chance to hear things you probably haven't heard in 40 or 50 years.
That is true. Absolutely.
All right. Well, here's one of those, and we're going to take us back in time. I guess this is like the early 60s from KBOK. When I first looked at that, I know from being in radio, when you have the W, you think, okay, that's east of the Mississippi. KBOK seems to be west of the Mississippi. A lot of that's where they use for the call letters. But this comes from someplace else, right?
Yes, it comes on the shores of the Black Sea in Sinop, Turkey, and we used Kabak as our call signal because in Turkish, Bak meant to see, and that was just a play on the word.
Here's a little bit of Kabak. We'll get into that as how Joe got there, and here's a little bit of Joe back from the early 1962-63, I believe, on this.
An echo in the night on KBOK Tempo, Tempo time 3:45, and here's a look at the KBOK weather chart. Mostly cloudy and warm today and tomorrow, a little cooler tonight with showers continuing toward morning. Daytime highs in the mid-70s and a low tonight, 60 degrees under cloudy skies with a rumble of thunder over the hill. It's 73 degrees. Here's Connie Francis on KBOK Tempo. Connie Francis sings it on KBOK, Don't Break the Heart That Loves You. 12 minutes before 4, KBOK Tempo time, tonight at the Post Theater, starting time, 1800 hours, the motion picture starring Eddie Albert and Jane Wyatt, Two Little Bears, believe it or not. It's yours for the watching at the Post Theater tonight at 1800 hours and again at 2000 hours. And tonight at the Recreation Center, it's the Ping Pong Tournament night, starts at 7:30. Let's get happy with one Mel Torme.
There's a little bit of that. And, of course, I'm listening to that. And it being in, here's a little of the tape bleed. Anytime you put a reel-to-reel, you kind of get the audio that maybe has somewhere else on that reel or tape. Magnetic stuff is kind of transferred through that.
That is true.
But that's from 1962. What time of the day? That was like afternoon, mid-afternoon?
That would have been an afternoon at Sinop, Turkey. That was a homegrown radio station. We had a group of fellas who were all in commercial broadcasting in one area or another, and they decided, let's, for morale purposes, put a radio station together, and we did. We buried the cable in the ground because you couldn't put anything overhead, and then we stole things. We stole from Armed Forces Radio. We stole our news off Reuters because we got an old Hammerland receiver from the Navy, and that's how we received the news. Weather, we made it up. That was a made-up weather forecast. But you know what? We got it more often than the guys who get paid bucks here on TV to predict the weather.
Well, if you're there for a while or if you look out the window, you probably know what's possibly coming.
You are right, Bruce. You are right.
All right. You talked about the news. Here's a little bit of this from KBOC.
Eddie Fisher on KBOC Tempo, the land of milk and honey. 3 minutes before 4 and before Newswatch on Tempo Radio. KBOC Tempo, time now, 4 o'clock. Time for the Newswatch.
Under overcast skies, the temperature is 73 degrees. This is Don Milton reporting. I'll have the latest news in 1 minute.
Are you interested in investing some of your free time on the Hill into your future? The correspondence courses offered through the Education Office at Special Services are just such an investment. USAFI courses are offered for $5 and extension courses from almost any college for about $15. GED tests are given for equivalency high school diplomas or the equivalent years of college. If you wish to take advantage of these opportunities, contact PFC Tom Carey in the service club office between the hours of 1 to 3, Monday through Friday.
Washington. President Kennedy has ordered about 1,000 of the Marines sent to Thailand in May to withdraw to their ships, according to Defense Department spokesman in Washington today. The withdrawal will take place gradually. The Defense Department said further deployment of the Marines may be authorized later, depending on general conditions in the area. Kennedy ordered 4,000 U.S. troops into Thailand May 15th to help protect that country from the threat of communist military units then advancing in neighboring Laos. Some of the U.S. forces were thrown into a horseshoe-shaped defense line in the Mekong River border area.
Interesting to hear some of that news from that time, knowing how history played out,
right,
and what was sort of the beginning of the Vietnam era, the
yes.
war that was taking place. And
yep, and the fellow that did the news, Don Milton, ended up running a radio station down in Marianna, Florida when he got out of the military. And in fact, my family and I went down there and visited him, and that's a long story unto itself. But if Don Milton is out there somewhere listening to this, call me. I'd love to reestablish contact because he was one of my favorite people. There are two other guys, though, Bruce. The country western fellow that did the show from Strawberry Plains, Tennessee, Grover Watkins. I always urged him to go back and get into broadcasting because he would have been a natural. Don't know whether he ever did or not, but he was a natural. And the other fella, who was also the left fielder on our softball team, was a name that I'm sure a lot of people will remember, Charles Bierbauer. He was a newsman for ABC and CNN, and Charles went on to some big things before he finally hung it up.
Now, I want to show with you something that I've got here, because I was doing some research on it. I was trying to find out more about this KBOK, and people have sites that they've related to this, and here's a picture that someone took. It has and in this picture is a picture of the late Charles O'Hearn, who worked at KBOC in 1968, as they show the studios here. And they also mention at the bottom, it says, "Hey, Charles Bierbauer, did the KBOC studios look like this when you and Joe Tate operated the radio station?"
Oh, yeah, look at this.
So you
I've never seen this before, Bruce.
If you get online, there's, you know, different people have archives of stuff, and they've posted up there, so I did a little research on it. And you look at that studio, and it looks like a radio station basically from that era with the knobs and the turntables.
We had two or three engineers. Major Don Sims was the man in charge, and he really knew what he was doing. He had been an engineer for a radio station in Indiana before he came into the service, so he was responsible for a lot of what you see in those pictures. And he made it work.
So how did you end up in Turkey? What's Uncle Sam, obviously?
Army Security Agency, yep. I spent a year at the Army Language School in Monterey learning Russian, and then they shipped me off along with several others to Sinop, Turkey, which included about a, 300-mile truck ride up from Ankara to Sinop, and we were involved in surveillance activities up there, but we also had time to put together a radio station and a softball team that eventually played in the Black Sea softball tournament down at Trabzon. So that was, in fact, we broadcast the games from Trabzon back to Sinop because the British had let us use something that was really new called microwave. And they had a microwave facility at Sinop and at Trabzon, and they allowed us to use it to get our broadcast back to Sinop. And the powers that be at Sinop could never really quite figure out how the heck we got them back. That's because the British wouldn't talk about it. So it was typical military.
Well, I was also thinking sometimes typical radio, if you make friends with engineers or people that have right. the equipment and you're nice enough and they just want to, you know, show off the things that they have,
yep.
why not do a softball game? We have a little bit of that coming up shortly as well. And I was, because I'm listening to some of the air check from that day. And I would assume the reason why you have this air check is at some point you're thinking, I need to maybe have a recording of this to show what I've done to maybe further your career? Or what was the reason why you might have a recording of this?
It was called an audition tape.
Okay.
And you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what I figured. I better record this because I knew I wouldn't be doing any broadcasting once I came back to the States. And I needed something from at least the previous year or two so I could use it as an audition tape, although I went back to work for the same people I worked for before I went in the Army, so an audition tape was not necessary, and that's how it ended up in the basement.
Now, do they end up, when you're getting into the military, what talents do you have, and you've kind of given an idea, well, I've done some broadcasting before, or is this something you just use to fill downtime? What was the requirements?
I had 5 years of Spanish, and they refused to let me do Spanish at the Army Language School. I ended up doing Russian. But, when we got over to Sinop, morale was a big problem. I mean, we were over there on that retired volcano sitting on the Black Sea, and there was not much going on. So when I went to the base commander with this idea, he thought, this is good because it will help bring the outside world in, which is exactly what it did do. And so he was all behind it. I was put on detached duty to run the radio station, and my engineering buddy did a lot of the technical work, and we got it on the air. And somewhere in my files, I have a commendation from the United States Army for what I did there at Sinop, Turkey.
So radio, for the most part, has to do with morale, and it's a way to either give people a little distraction from what they're dealing with there, provide news and, you know, sort of entertainment.
Yep.
I'm looking at something here, and this is I printed this off from another source I found online related to KBOC radio. It says the radio, and I'm not sure how long that radio station existed even after you left, maybe, I don't know, another decade or at least through the 60s, it seems. But it says here, the radio station KBOC on the Hill broadcast about 10 watts. The Sinop mayor complained all the teenies were listening to our station and getting morally corrupted. I don't know. Maybe this is opinion. So the CO decided we had to shut it down. Not to quit, we terminated the RF and wired up a 100-watt audio amplifier and strung wires throughout the barracks, day rooms with speakers. This person says, I remember that the SSGT...
Staff Sergeant, who
constantly insisted on hearing Boots Randolph's Strangers on the Shore.
There you go.
Till I got so sick, I accidentally broke the record on it one night. Thus, KBOC radio became a closed-circuit radio system, providing limited programming to each and every DET-4?
DET-4, that was the detachment up there.
Okay. So there's even at some point, they were still trying to keep broadcasting.
There. Yeah. Well, the Army finally pulled out of there, I understand, about 1970. So KBOC, I am sure, died when the Army pulled out because they took everything that they could possibly take with them out of country.
Here's a little more of Joe Tate back from the KBOC radio days.
And you're in tune with Tate on Tempo on this Tuesday afternoon at 4:09 Tempo time. We hear Connie Francis sing. Day on KBOK, now 4:12 the time. Next News Watch at 7, sports at 9:50, weather permitting, and the weatherman is not too optimistic at the present moment. He says, hey, we could have a thunder shower in the next few moments, and the sky...
Wait a minute, you would be the weatherman, right?
Who, that's right. I had obviously looked out the window and saw the storm clouds gathering, so included a possible thunder shower in our weather forecast.
Here's a little more of this.
Well, the hill looks just about that way, but if it does not rain, at 5:10 tonight, you'll hear the broadcast on KBOK of the ball game between the first and second platoon in Diogenes League softball. Frank Sinatra has it. That pocket full of miracles. K-Buck tempo time, 4:15. You know, the best hope for a free world is a strong America, and you can help. When you buy United States savings bonds, your dollars go to underwrite your country's might, and at the same time, you're building your own security because savings bonds are safe, sure, and guaranteed. So buy and hold United States savings bond, and buy an extra bond for freedom. Do it today.
Doing a buy bond spot there, I see.
Yeah. That was an absolute unashamed audition tape because the music had been clipped out of the tape, and I don't think I ever used it for anything.
Huh. How much Connie Francis were you playing during your time there? I mean, it's about the same time when she was very popular, right?
Yep.
Before the
yep.
British invasion and all that early 60s and stuff. But did you have a supply of records, or what was that like?
An open call to anyone on the base who had records they could bring in to us, and we'd play them on the air. And so, we had an interesting library of music that kind of came and went. And so evidently at the time somebody had brought some Connie Francis into us, so we put it on the air.
And you just had the regular turntables?
Yep.
And there's, I guess, reel-to-reel tapes?
You got
things
it.
Like that? What was the broadcast time? Were you on 24 hours a day, or
yes.
did you sign on, sign off? So
no, we were on 24 hours a day. And we had our cable buried to the point where there was no RF, and so there was no mayor of Sinop saying that the teenies were...
Yeah.
So evidently, later on, there was some leakage that allowed that signal to get downtown, which is at the foot of the volcano, and... That created a problem.
But you're broadcasting in a volcano or near a volcano?
It was an empty or an old retired volcano. The base sat right up on the top of it.
They claim it's not working volcano, but I don't know if Mother Nature would ever. But really, so
no. Didn't go off while I was there. That's all I know.
Here's a little more of what's happened on KBOK during that time.
20 musical minutes beyond the hour of 4 on KBOK tempo time, and time for a look at the KBOK weather chart. Under overcast skies now, the winds continue east-northeast at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure continuing down rapidly to 9.65, and the temperature is a steady 73 degrees. The forecast, mostly cloudy and warm today and tomorrow, a little cooler tonight, however, with showers continuing to morning. Daytime highs in the mid-70s and a low tonight near 60 degrees. Presently, thunder rumbling over the hill. No rain as yet, but it looks as though we may have a washed-out ball game on our hands at 5:10 this afternoon. And if that is the case, you'll hear Mark Anderson with music on tempo from 5 until News Watch at 7. There's Johnny Mathis on KBOK Tempo Radio. It was on a
sweet... You're listening to Over the Timeline with Joe Tate, looking through some of the archives, many of the archives from Joe Tate's library of archives through his career that spanned... How many decades are we looking at here? Like the six?
I'm into my 60-some years now, yeah.
So we'll be doing these throughout the time, but we're looking back at this one from the early 60s. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out, did that softball game get played, or did it wash out? Maybe that's a little, if it got washed out, I don't know what we'll have after this break, but we'll find out as we continue Over the Timeline with Joe Tate.
He was a voice heard by Cleveland Cavalier and Cleveland Indians fans for decades.
There's a long drive to left field!
Until illness struck.
I've been at LifeCare twice. Both times, they helped me fight my way back home. It wasn't easy, but I came back.
Meet Joe Tate.
LifeCare helped get me back on my feet.
Real people, real heroes. Life Care Centers of America.
With locations in Elyria, Westlake, and Medina.
It's Over the Timeline with Joe Tate. I'm Bruce Van Dyke, and we are looking at Joe's time in the military. KBOK, KBOK. And again, what does that stand for? What was the idea behind that?
BOK is a Turkish word meaning to see, or I see, something of that nature. And we just put a K in front of it. And one of the fellow's mothers ran a print shop in Philadelphia, and she printed up the letterhead that we had. And so we even had letterhead
stationery. Any T-shirts? Radio stations have to have T-shirts.
No, I'm afraid we didn't get quite that far. The good idea, though, Bruce. Yeah.
What about your softball team? They've got uniforms, right? They had
no.
No?
No, they played in their civvies or in their unis. And it was usually military pants, you know, T-shirts.
So you were broadcasting, talking about a softball game coming up, and then you're also calling the softball game.
Yeah.
Did you play? You also played in it. You can't do all of that. But
no, I did not play. No, I was devoid of any talent that would have put me out on the field, but I did do the play-by-play in all the games.
Here's a little bit of that from KBOK.
This is Dick Schaefer now, the third baseman, batting for the Hilltoppers. Swings from the right side. Has a batting average of .458 for the season. Playing third base today. Batting number two. Dillingham delivers. Ball inside. Ball one. A beautiful afternoon for softball at Ashak Stadium. The post team making its debut. This week they shall play all of their teams in the league. The lineup on the next pitch. Bunted on front of the plate down the third base line. Picked up by the pitcher, Dillingham, who falls down and cannot make a play. A base hit for Dick Schaefer, who dropped one down the line. Dillingham came over quickly, but could not control the ball. So Schaefer is on with hit number one, and the batter will be Dick Vandekeef of the 4th Platoon. Vandy swings from the right side. He's played all over the lineup for the 4th Platoon this year. Has pitched, caught, infield, outfield. He's catching today. There's another bunt down the third baseline. Kellum waves everyone away and lets it roll foul.
And I listened to that, and at first when I thought about softball, and in this day and age, you always think late women playing softball as well.
Right.
But then I'm realizing, well, you're talking about the members of the different platoons that are battling. Who was a good, are these the Hilltoppers? Is that?
That was, I'm not, you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I remember Hilltoppers was the name we used on the team we sent down to Trabzon for the Black Sea Tournament. But how it snuck into that play-by-play there of just two platoons going at each other, I don't remember.
Here's a little bit more. And, of course, I guess during this broadcast you would do your own commercial break or something like that, or advertisement. So it's a little bit of an all-in-one. Here's Joe Tate.
Here's the windup and the first pitch. Swung on. Short fly ball. Could be trouble. Wakefield over. In right field, he takes the ball, and the basket catch on the side is retired. And in the first inning of play, the post team comes up with three runs on three hits, one error, and there were two runners left aboard. And at the end now of one complete inning of play at Ashak Stadium, the post team 3, the second platoon nothing.
There will not be a movie shown at the post theater today, but as soon as the new shipment is received, you will be able to find times and information for the movies on KBOK. It's another four-star service of KBOK Radio. The time here in KBOK studios is presently 24 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock.
We're moving into the top half of the second inning at Ashak Stadium, and Jack Van Dyke will be looking first and foremost at Rex Rhodes, second baseman, Nate Wakefield, the right fielder, and Virge Palmer in left field. In the batting orders, numbers 6, 7, and 8 for the second platoon.
I put that in there because you had a Van Dyke, and I think I should probably see whether I had any relatives that played at some particular point. Like, I listened to that break about the movie, and to me it comes straight out of like an episode of MASH, where you'd have this speaker, tonight's movie will not be shown because it has not shown up, basically.
That's basically right. And anybody listening who speaks Turkish will probably get a chuckle, unless they're a little prudish, as to why we call the field Ashak Stadium. Ashak is a Turkish name for an animal.
I see.
Or at least a portion of an animal.
Did it with a straight face, I see, for that, right?
Sure.
All right, and this, let's see, we've got one other cut from that time.
As far as the league-leading Cleveland Indians were concerned, they split 2 yesterday. Washington took the first game from the Indians by a score of 3-1. Cleveland rallied for the nightcap 4-2.
There you have the league-leading Indians back there in the early 60s. at that particular time.
We stole all that stuff right off Armed Forces Radio and Reuters News. So that was an old Hammerland receiver that the Navy gave us that gave us a chance to get the outside stuff. We went on the air, Bruce, with the Indianapolis 500. That was the first broadcast we had, was the Indy 500 in 1962.
Obviously in May, right there at the end of May. And were there any new pieces of equipment, or was it all kind of cobbled together?
It was cobbled. If you look at those pictures you had, you'll see cobble all over those pictures.
Right. And the people come in and then broadcast. And how long was your shift when you were doing that?
I showed up whenever. See, I was detached from duty.
Okay.
And there were two of us that were detached. The rest all had to do their regular shifts up on the hill with the stuff that goes with the Army Security Agency. So there were times when they would be called in for extra duty or something special, and then I would have to fill in for them because they wouldn't be able to make their on-the-air shift. So I was liable to show up on the air at any hour of the day or night.
What do you think that taught you, I guess, as far as then, you know, obviously being responsible, getting there, being able to create something out of nothing in a sense, doing that broadcasting?
Well, it was all experience. Everything I did over there was experience that I could rely on when I got back to the real world.
And when you got back to the real world, what was the transition like then?
It was quick because I actually went from Turkey to Germany, and then from Germany right back to the States, and got right back into broadcasting with the people that I had worked with in Monmouth. They were now running a radio station in Decatur, Illinois. So I hit the ground running after my military days.
And how long was your military?
3 years.
3 years for that? Okay. Well, we appreciate your service and obviously all that you've done since then, and that kind of... Did you suddenly think you were like in the Taj Mahal when you got back to your other radio station after having...
No, I remember that radio station, and it looked a lot like K-Bock.
A slightly different budget, perhaps,
yes.
Or at least what they were able to put together. But it's always good to bring back, and I'm glad we were able to bring back some of the memories from your time in the service and this kind of a radio station. People maybe think a lot of times like that Good Morning Vietnam, or they think about a military radio station, which, you know, has some truth to it, but obviously it has more of a Hollywood.
Yeah, we didn't have any Robin Williams over there. Everybody was kind of playing it straight to the vest.
In as much as they are, considering that they're still trying to amuse themselves, if they're, you know, who's listening and what you need to do, but follow the rules, I guess, as a good military person would do.
That is true.
Yes. Well, even when you get into radio, the government is still watching. You know, there's still another three-letter place that keeps an eye on you. Well, Joe, we appreciate sharing with us. And, of course, people can be listening throughout the time to the different podcasts for Over the Timeline with Joe Tate. It's presented by Life Care Center of Elyria, Westlake, and Medina.